This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, May 29th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And, well, we have football to talk about today. Man, being back at the NovaCare yesterday, got the notepad out, did the quarterback stats, got all types of stats, receivers, running backs. It felt like being back at training camp. And man, I just cannot wait until we're back at training camp. Not that far away, crazily enough. It's almost June. By the time you know it, it'll be July. And July is basically training camp time. But Wednesday was an exciting day because it was our first look at the 2025 Eagles. Now, not everybody was there, so we didn't get a great look at, you know, all full depth charts, all that type of stuff. No, A.J. Brown was there, but didn't really practice. Devontae wasn't there. Lane wasn't there. Landon Dickerson wasn't there. Reed Blankenship wasn't there. So definitely some key players missing, but you know what? It was still football, and it was still a chance to get to look at this team. So for today's Daily Pod, we are going to get into, first, all the observations from practice. A lot to talk about. I got, like I said, the Jalen stats, and we'll talk about different players that stood out. And then on the other side of the commercials, we're going to talk about Kevin Petullo's first press conference as offensive coordinator, and Dallas Goedert talked for the first time since really a very turbulent offseason. Would he be back? Would he not be back? Was he going to be traded? Was he going to be cut? He acknowledged all those things were possibilities. So we'll get into what he had to say on the other side. But first, let's talk about Eagles football. So the Eagles practice on Wednesday, the second day of an OTA, but the first chance for us to get to watch them practice. Now, if you live in Philly, you know Wednesday was just a disgustingly rainy day. Like, just, I would almost prefer if the rain just came through quickly and like was a big storm, as opposed to just all day constant like spitting, just gross. And as a result, the Eagles moved into the bubble. So they can never really get as much done in the bubble. The bubble is not a full 100-yard football field, which is crazy to think that the Eagles don't have a full indoor football field. I feel like that's going to have to change soon. But as a result, not as much practicing. They probably still practice for over an hour, I would say, but not the outdoor practice where they can really go all in. So let's start with the quarterback position, because that is always the most important place to start. Jalen Hurts finished the practice 20 of 21, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. Started the day 8 for 8. His only incompletion was a pass to Dallas Goedert that was still a pretty good throw. It was just a really nice breakup. I feel like it was Zach Bond, but don't quote me on that. But regardless, 20 of 21, I don't think he threw a pass over 15 yards. Maybe one pass to Dotson might have been right around 15 yards, maybe a yard or two past it. But he didn't really do much with the football in terms of special plays, taking advantage of it. I mean, taking advantage of, going up against, backups on defense. But the thing is, he was also playing with mostly backups because there was no AJ, no Devontae. Saquon was there, but a running back in 7-on-7s and 11-on-11 where you can't tackle, not really a ton of help. So I will say, he was smart with the football, completed a high percent of his passes. That's what you want to see. Like, it looked a lot like Jalen in training camp last year when, as you all remember, he set the franchise record for consecutive attempts without an interception. So, and by the way, I do notice around the league, I see a lot of OTA stats. At this point, if your favorite beat writer is not providing you with OTA or training camp stats, you need to get a new beat writer. So really cool to see that go around. I also challenge any writer to show me a quarterback do more than the attempts Jalen had last year without an interception. I don't think any quarterback can do it. So overall, I gave Jalen a B+ for the day. I think if you watch practice, you would see it was just nice, smooth, veteran quarterback play. Nothing crazy, nothing fancy, but nothing bad either. And if Jalen plays that style of football, as we saw last year, the Eagles are going to win a lot of games. Maybe they have to dink and dunk down the field 5 yards at a time, but when you have AJ, Devontae, Dallas, Saquon, that's not a problem. So good day from Jalen overall. Part of that good day is I thought Dotson looked good. He caught the first pass of the day, as I mentioned. He probably had Jalen's longest completion of the day. It was probably 15-ish yard comeback where he was open. The number two looks good on Dotson. Number two is my favorite number. I do think a number change can do something for a player. Dotson didn't have a horrendous year last year or anything, but you see him out there in the number two. He looks quick. He looks shifty in the open field. I thought it was an impressive day from Jahad Dotson. So Jahad Dotson had a good day. The other big part of the passing game with AJ and Devontae out was Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert caught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 passes on the day. And I mentioned the only incompletion was his way, but yeah, just worked over the middle, got open. You can see the chemistry that Dallas and Jalen have from playing together, but also the offseason work that they put together. One of Jalen's nicer thrown balls was a pass to Goedert, probably about a 10-yard completion, but Goedert was open in space. Jalen just hit him like perfectly in stride. Goedert didn't have to adjust to the ball or anything, and he just kind of went upfield. Probably not a touchdown in a game. Now, I will say with how Goedert breaks tackles, you never know, because Goedert was heading at about the 10 or 15 yard line with a full head of steam towards the end zone. So maybe he gets in, but it looked like he was tackled, quote, in this practice. So a good day for Goedert on the offensive side of the ball. As I said, Dotson as well got a lot of passes from Jalen. The other player that I thought got a good amount of work from Jalen was Will Shipley. So Will Shipley caught a bunch of passes. I have him down with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 passes. And keep in mind, he only threw 21 passes. So a lot of them did go to Shipley. He looks really, really smooth as a receiver. We had a really nice route today where he kind of went out in the flat and then went upfield. He just moves smoothly in the open field. Like, when he cuts, there's not time wasted. It doesn't look like he's wasting steps. When he's doing something, each movement seems to be with a purpose. He catches the ball naturally. And in the open field, like, he is quick for sure. So I thought Shipley had a really good day. Saquon wasn't really involved. I don't think Saquon took team reps. If he did, I don't think he touched the ball. He might have on one running play. Saquon wasn't really out there, much like AJ. So with Jalen on the field, it was a lot of Goedert, a lot of Dotson, a lot of Will Shipley. And then outside of that, Anaya Smith got some reps with the first team. The only thing I'll say with Anaya Smith is that he just, and we'll talk about like player size in a few minutes when we talk about some of the rookies. He's small. And so you look at, what he's going to have to be in the NFL. And I just don't I don't see him winning consistently on the outside. So from there, he has to be a slot receiver, and he could maybe do that, but I don't know if you want him going over the middle all the time. He just reminds me a lot of Jalen Reagor, where Reagor like had to be a special athlete that made people miss to be an impactful NFL player. And I just don't see that with Anaya Smith. So, you know, you look at some of the receivers that Jalen was throwing today, it's guys that are going to be like practice squad guys. And Anaya Smith didn't really stand out both in the play or physically compared to those guys. So, yeah, we'll see. Anaya Smith, definitely somebody that training camp is going to be big for him. I don't think he's a lock to make the team by any stretch. So, going to be a big one for Anaya Smith. So, some other observations from the day. First of all, in terms of attendance, like I said, no Devontae, no Reed Blankenship, no Landon Dickerson, no Lane Johnson. Cam Jurgens was there but didn't practice. AJ Brown was there, only did individuals. Nolan Smith was there. He did individuals. I don't think he did any team. He still had a brace on his arm from the tricep surgery that he had this offseason. But another noticeable absence, Bryce Huff. Look, I don't know why Bryce Huff wasn't there. If it's a personal reason, that's completely understandable. Maybe he's been there all offseason. I just think Bryce Huff should be at OTAs if he can. And he is in a situation right now where he is fighting for playing time, frankly, fighting for a roster spot. You wonder if the Eagles are just keeping him away until June 1st, where maybe they would trade him or cut him at that point with less of a salary cap implication in terms of losing salary cap space. By the way, the table just moved. That was not what you thought it was. It was not a fart. It was a table moving. But yeah, Bryce Huff there, not great. So let's talk about some of the depth chart takeaways from the day. The first one is, man, the safety spot is going to be a brutal one for this team to make decisions at. Like, we've talked about Justin Simmons. I don't even know if there's room on the roster for Justin Simmons. Now, obviously, these guys have to play, and they have to play well, and that's the wild card. But in terms of just rotating in and out, Reed Blankenship wasn't there. Like, Sidney Brown got first-team reps. Andrew Makuba got first-team reps. Andre Sam got first-team reps. Tristan McCollum got first-team reps. Lewis Cine was out there with the first team at times. So that safety position, I don't know how they're not going to be able to keep everybody. I mean, you just look at it. Reed, Makuba, Sidney Brown, Lewis Cine, Andre Sam, Tristan McCollum is six. I think Maxon Hook, the undrafted safety out of Toledo, is going to be a player. Just looking at him out on the practice field, he moves well. He has good size for his safety. Quinyon Mitchell talked about him after practice. Quinyon was his roommate in college and talked about what a good player he is. Like, that's a lot of safeties, especially when you probably really only want to keep five. Now, some play special teams, so you could go maybe a little heavier there. But safety is going to be tough. In terms of the first team, now, again, no Reed there today. But Sidney Brown and Andrew Makuba were the first duo up at safety, which was very surprising. We talked about this in the Daily Pod previewing the OTA practices. I didn't think young guys would get thrown right in there. They didn't do that with Quinyon last year, but Makuba was out there. Now, Makuba physically, after they drafted him, we talked quite a bit about his size, right? He was one of the smaller safeties in the draft, both him and Mac McWilliams. Here's what I'd say, seeing Makuba around NFL players, first chance to see him on the field, get eyes on him with a helmet and everything. He's not small, like short. Like, when he's out there, he doesn't look undersized. Now, he definitely is going to struggle, or at least it'll be a challenge for him to if he's in man coverage against like 6'4", 6'3", receivers, long arms. Like, I could picture that being a problem. He's just more skinny. Like, he's almost like a bigger version of Donnell Pumphrey. Donnell Pumphrey was skinny, but also really short. Makuba's not as short. Like, when you just look at him standing next to other people, other players in the secondary, you don't look and go like, that guy's tiny, like you do with Anaya Smith, or like I did with Donnell Pumphrey. That's not the case. He just is slight, like he's slender. So I think he's going to have to put on some muscle or some weight to just be a big hitter in the NFL, to put up with some of these bigger guys. But the fact that he's out there already with first team reps shows he's doing a good job picking up the playbook. And I think the size for him was not as shocking as maybe I expected it to be, considering how he was discussed as a draft prospect. And that's always the case. Like, during the draft process, people get so wrapped up in, you know, well, this guy's 6'2", but this prospect's 6'3", so he should go ahead of him. Or this guy's wingspan is 80 inches as opposed to 79 inches. And this guy weighs 110 pounds. Not 110 pounds. This guy weighs 210 pounds. But once they're out there, it just doesn't stand out as much. Like, I remember last year, Nolan Smith, the way they talked about him, it was like, you know, he was a friggin' like punter out there or something. And he ended up being awesome. And I thought right away he looked like, or 2 years ago with Nolan, he looked like he could be an NFL player. Looking at both Makuba and Mac McWilliams today, they both look like NFL players. Mac McWilliams more so. Mac McWilliams, I have zero concern about his size. Zero. I think he might even be bigger than Avante. Just like eyeball test. I don't know if he's taller, whatever. I'm just letting you know, when I look at Avante practice and play, and when I looked at Mac McWilliams today, Mac McWilliams looks bigger to me than Avante does. So the size for Mac McWilliams and Andrew Makuba, not a concern. But yeah, that safety position, whew. Like, I can see why Justin Simmons isn't here yet. And if Justin Simmons is waiting to get here, he's got a lot of players that have to fail, I think, before he gets a roster spot. So the other depth chart thing we talked about coming into the practice on Wednesday was a corner. And it is pretty clear there is going to be a competition between Keeley and Adoree Jackson for that number two corner spot. I thought maybe they would give it to Keeley and Adoree is like a safe fail there. But that's going to be a competition. So here's how the Eagles essentially did it. So when they were in base defense, only two corners, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell were the two corners. And Cooper talked about that after practice, said it's an adjustment, but it's something he's done before, and he feels confident with it. So with them in base, Cooper was on one side, Quinyon was on the other. Now, obviously, they're not going to play a ton of that this year, right? So when they were in nickel and had multiple corners on the field, it was Quinyon on one side, Cooper at nickel, and in 7-on-7s, like the first drills of the day, it was Adoree Jackson. When it was 7-on-7, Adoree was out there. When they went to 11s, Keeley was out there. So they split those reps. Now, we're not at practice every day. They had practice yesterday. They've, you know, had days this offseason where they've practiced. We'll see more practices this offseason. So it's definitely possible they're rotating, but I thought Keeley would be out there. Like, Keeley knows the defense. Keeley was there last year. I will say the number 7 on Keeley looks great. Like, good choice by Keeley. He just looks bigger than everybody out there too. Like, his size is special for a corner position. Adoree Jackson looks small to me. Not like tiny, but definitely undersized, I would say, like skinny. He does not like a big dude. Keeley next to him is, you know, it looks like they play different positions. So we will see how that rotates, but yeah, Keeley clearly is going to have to win his job. This is not going to be handed to Keeley. We've talked about it on the pod how I think Vic Fangio just might not be a huge fan of Keeley, and maybe that's the case based off the depth chart based off the depth chart today, or at least how they practiced. Some other takeaways from practice today. Tyler Steen was first up at the guard position, at the right guard position. Now, like I said, a lot of guys were missing. No Cam, no Lane, no Landon, but that doesn't really impact his spot, right? Like, doesn't impact Tyler Steen's spot. So Tyler Steen was the first one up there. Again, it could be a rotating thing, but I do think it's Tyler Steen's job to lose at this point. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean Kenyon couldn't beat him out. Maybe they want Kenyon to beat him out. If Steen gets hurt like he did last year and Kenyon gets in there and plays well, he could once again have his job taken. But Tyler Steen was the first one out there. Hard to really say how he played. They didn't do much 11-on-11. And my angle, without the ability to see replays, it is hard to tell how he played. But he was the guard next to at right guard. So that's another depth chart thing. Now let's talk about the linebacker position. At linebacker, Zach Bond was out there. No Jihad Campbell, no Nakobe Dean. They both went inside prior to practice. So Nakobe not ready yet, Jihad not ready yet. But it was Zach Bond. It was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. A name I think we need to keep an eye on is Smile Mondon Jr. You just look at him out there. The dude is athletic. The dude is bigger than I thought. You hear about his football smarts, the way he gets sideline to sideline. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has his work cut out for him. Nakobe has his work cut out for him, because I think Smile Mondin Jr. can play. I think this guy might be something. So he was like following Zach Bond around today. It was like his shadow. Like everywhere Bond went, Mondin went, you could tell he was learning from him. So he's not going to play next to Bond. But if he looks good in practice, you wonder if Vic will try him out there next to Zach Bond. So Smile Mondin Jr. definitely came away impressed with him. The other takeaway just physically was Ty Robinson. I think this dude is going to be good right away. I'm not saying he's going to be like a Pro Bowl player right away or like a huge impact player right away, but I think he is going to be able to play snaps for the Eagles right away and play it at a relatively high level. So was impressed by him. He just looks the part. Like you look at him, Jordan Davis, and Jalen Carter next to each other, and they just look like three guys that are going to be playing this year. Now, obviously, we know Jalen and Jordan are, but Ty Robinson didn't seem timid. He didn't seem undersized. He looked like he was ready to go. So very impressed by Ty Robinson. First time seeing this dude in a helmet and not pads, but seeing him in a football setting. So overall, a good first day of practice. Like I said, just exciting to see the Eagles back out there. Exciting to see, you know, football's back. And we're going to get another day next week. So on the other side, we will get into the off the field part of football, which is the team's new offensive coordinator and Dallas Goedert speaking to the media. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So in addition to football, the Eagles held press conferences on Wednesday. And first up was Kevin Petullo. So Kevin Petullo has not spoken to the media since he was hired by the Eagles to be the offensive coordinator, obviously promoted from within. You know, I've been around Kevin since he's been here. I think he's an impressive guy. I think he's a smart guy. He's clearly an accomplished guy. I do think he was probably a little bit nervous in his first press conference up at the podium, answering a bunch of questions that, you know, probably aren't fun questions to answer. What are you going to do different? How are you different than Nick? How are you different from Kellen? Like, they are tough questions to answer. So I'm going to play some of what he said, and then I'll give you my thoughts on what he said. So here's Kevin Petullo talking about kind of the differences in the offense we could expect this year versus last year.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, I don't think we'll change too much, right? We've kind of had the
Eagles offense is what we've kind of been running essentially the last 4 years, and we'll kind of keep it in that grouping of words just because the continuity of everybody, it'll be a lot easier, and then we can make adjustments or add stuff within things because that kind of baseline language is already built.
So not like a ton of description or a ton of details there, but he was also asked kind of the differences between him and Nick Sirianni, and here's what he had to say.
Because you've been with Nick obviously so long, you two are kind of linked in many people's eyes, but how do you think you differ from him in terms of philosophy or offensive understanding?
You know, it's interesting. We go back to the Colts when him and I are together. I think there's a lot of fundamental things that we see the same way, you know, but I do think our brains work differently. So it's a good back and forth conversational piece that we have constantly. And there's a lot of things, like I said, that he believes in that I believe in as well. And we're going to do those things. But I do think we challenge each other to grow. And he's awesome about just finding new ideas and testing the waters and saying, what if we did this? What if we tried that? And he challenges you as a coach to really continue to grow your game. So it's, we can be, you know, linked together, but I do think as far as like the testing each other, and, you know, he loves to always say, right, you know, we're iron sharpens iron, and all these other things about just when you're working together with people trying to create greatness, right? You can't be great without the greatness of others. He's a big part of that, right? He pushes us as coaches to get better, and that's kind of what's unique about it.
And then finally, the next quote I want you guys to hear is he was asked like what his offensive influences are, like as a coach, and here's what he had to say.
Who was the greatest influence in your fundamental years as coach?
Obviously, Nick's been huge on me here currently, but prior to that, my biggest influence was Chan Gailey. I was with Chan, you know, a couple different places. Started in Kansas City when I was with Herm Edwards. I was a young coach then. He had just come from Georgia Tech at that point. And just going through that with him was very unique. You know, in 2008, it was, we lost a couple quarterbacks. We ended up having Tyler Thigpen come in. And I'll never forget, we get into a staff room, and the walls are all white. There's nothing out there. He goes, all right, we got to figure out a new offense for this week. And he was willing to do anything and try anything to be successful. We ended up developing this no-huddle system. We were in the pistol, and in 2008, nobody knew what the pistol was in the NFL. And we were successful for the most part. We didn't win a lot of games, but we moved the ball with a bunch of guys that we didn't know really if we could do that with. And so, you know, him being able to show, look, we do what we have to do to win. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It was huge. And then, you know, I went to Buffalo with him, and it looked way different. And we had Ryan Fitzpatrick there, and we were in four wides throwing all over the place. And I got with him again in New York. And so just being around him, he's probably been my greatest influence on my past. And then obviously Nick currently, but, you know, he just taught me a lot. And the biggest thing was, you know, put your players in position, allow them to be successful and develop dialogue, communication with them, and things will take off. But no, he's definitely been a big influence on me.
So let's talk about it. I wish I could know right away what you thought of it, because I don't want to put too much into a first press conference. Nick Sirianni had a not a great first press conference. We famously know he ended up is now the best head coach in Eagles history. And I don't think Kevin Petullo tripped around his words the way Nick did that day. I don't think Kevin Petullo like kind of didn't make sense the way Nick did that day. But if you were concerned like me that Kevin Petullo is not going to bring anything different to this offense, I think it was a press conference that should be worrisome. I know he's not going to get up there and be like, well, we did this and now we're going to do this. Or like, I didn't agree with Kellen doing that. I understand that. But he just came across a lot like a continuation of Nick, like an extension of Nick Sirianni. I didn't get the sense that he has all types of new ideas that he hasn't given before. I mean, at one point he essentially said the only difference between his job now and last year is he runs the meeting room. Now, clearly he's going to be calling plays, but he called some plays last year. He had the headset on. He was involved in that. It just didn't feel to me like this is a big deal that he got this. That's not the correct phrasing. It didn't feel to me like this is a big change or this is like an exciting hire. Not that he's not a smart football guy. Like, clearly he is. Clearly him and Nick are very successful together. But they already had Kevin Petullo. So I was hoping to feel a little more like maybe pizzazz is just something where it was, okay, like this guy is going to come in and change things. This guy is going to come in and be able to zig when maybe someone else would have zagged. Or this guy is going to have a counterpunch to what the NFL is going to bring him. It just feels like, once again, it is going to be Nick and Petullo figuring things out. And that's worked, right? So I'm not sitting here and saying it's going to fail. But if you've listened to this pod, you know I really wanted them to get an offensive coordinator that would bring fresh ideas, right? Like you look at 2022 to 2023. I think there was a lot of reasons they struggled, but one was I think they got stale on offense. They bring in Kellen Moore. He helps. He's a part of it. He's new ideas. He's fresh set of eyes. And their offense is good again, right? They're better against the blitz. I'm worried about the Kevin Petullo hire. And it's a weird thing to say because I actually do think Kevin Petullo is a good coach. I just don't know if he is being set up to succeed here, where it's just going to be the same guys figuring things out, only with one less person now. And I know they brought in Scott Loeffler, the quarterback coach. He could bring some new things. Kevin Petullo has had his chance to figure things out with this passing game and with this offense, and all his ideas are there. Like, he's already there. And to be completely honest, I don't love the fact that his two offensive influences are like Chan Gailey and Nick. It just doesn't scream like influence to me or like innovation. So anyway, I think Kevin's a good guy. I think he's a smart guy. He's been successful, but this press conference didn't do anything to lessen my concern about the fact that they are essentially just promoting from within for somebody that's an extension of Nick Sirianni. All right, so next up, a few players talked, but we're only going to get into Dallas Goedert today. So Goedert talked for the first time since his whole offseason saga went down, but he's talking as an Eagle at the facility after practice, so he is back for the 2025 season. So here is some of what Goedert had to say regarding what happened.
Uncertainty, were there any days that were more difficult than others just as you're going through it?
Yeah, absolutely. There'd be times where the agent would call and he said that something's going to happen, and it starts to feel real that whatever it's going to be, whether it's here or somewhere else, is a true possibility. And you just wait for that call to with your agent saying it's done. And sometimes he'd call you quick and it didn't happen, or sometimes it'd take all week. So, like I said, it was. There was definitely days that were filled with emotion. Just kind of sat on the couch and stared at the TV blankly, like, what's going to happen? But I'm just super excited that something's in place and, my future, I can just keep looking forward.
So I'll give Goedert credit. I thought he was very honest. I thought he was willing to explain truthfully what happened. He was very clear in other answers and saying that he definitely thought at points he was gone. He definitely thought being cut, being traded was possible. He did at times think about the excitement of going to a new team, but also thought about the sadness of leaving the Eagles. And I think Goedert is in a good place with this. I think it was an ugly situation. I don't think it was harmonious as maybe Goedert made it out to be, but he's here now, and I think Goedert is a popular guy in the locker room. He's a great teammate. I know that. His teammates have told me that, especially in that tight end room. So I don't think it's going to be an issue, but I also asked Goedert at one point, you're creeping up the all-time tight end numbers here. Do you view this as you could be an Eagle for a long time, or is this a one-year deal and see what happens? And I thought it was a little more, it'll be a one-year deal and see what happens, as opposed to, yeah, I'm an Eagle for life. Now, obviously, contractually, that just is what it is, but yeah, I thought Goedert was honest. I thought Goedert was real about what the situation was. And now we'll see what happens from here on out. I think there's a 50-50 at best. Goedert is back in 2026, but there's no question they are a better team with Goedert. And that even showed a practice. Like I said, Goedert was super involved in the passing offense. Now, obviously, AJ and Devontae aren't there, but there will be games where AJ and Devontae aren't there, and having Goedert will be a major, major luxury for this team. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Me and James are going to be back today, 10 a.m., new pod, talking more about practice and all types of other fun things. So that'll do it. Thank you so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Bears!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.